all of your pride. There's nowhere to hide. What would you decide when it's on the line? Would just do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? You can never touch the sky, you don't try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all and we're still unbreakable.
What is up, Mr. Cody McBroom?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself there, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing well. I'm excited to be on the podcast. It's not too early here. I'm in Washington, so it's...
Yeah, I was about to ask. Okay, so you're just getting the day started. It's Wednesday. It's when we're recording this. So do you have like any special like mantras going through Wednesday, getting through halfway through the week or anything?
Oh gosh. Honestly, like it sounds crazy, but it's a blessing to be alive and to be able to do what I do for a living. So no, that's you right. know, I wake up and get to the grind and I love it. I get to come to a gym and work in my office and podcast and the studio and do all that shit. So I love what I do. So no, it's just another day.
What time do you start your day?
I'm an early riser. So yeah. I get up at like 5:30. I like to have a good couple hours before my wife and daughter get up. So my daughter's 5, so she gets up at like 7:30. That gives me time to like, you know, do me, get in the motion and then get to the day.
Sure. So give the listeners a little bit about, you know, a lot of your transformation from what I know happened early on, like in your childhood and kind of like that kind of set the foundation of you wanted things to be different. You wanted to live a different life. So I kind of want to open up bringing you on to the Reborn podcast. Can you just give the listeners kind of like lay the foundation of who Cody was, kind of when you started discovering like health and fitness and even like your life before that compared to how it is now. So I'll let you take the way here.
So to try to keep it into a nutshell, like I grew up kind of like the black sheep of my family. Everybody was I don't have like an obese family or anything like that, but I was just always the chunky kid. I was always overweight, I was always heavier. And so I was never really into fitness. I never stepped foot in a gym until actually after high school. So in high school, I had a couple knee injuries, playing soccer, and I just added weight. And so after graduating high school, wasn't a great student, didn't do super well, got into a little bit of trouble here and there. And I was kind of just doing nothing. I was just sitting around, I was going to community college. I was overweight. And, I finally just looked in the mirror and was extremely brutally honest with myself and had that real conversation of like, man, what are you doing? You know, you're letting yourself go. At the time, I'm 18 years old. You know, I'm like, this is just ridiculous. So I actually just kind of went cold turkey with stuff. I like started at back in the day. I mean, it's like I started drinking diet soda, or I ate like, you know, Special K cereal with like.
So I want to stop you for a second. Like what, and you're kind of getting into it, but you know, when you say that you went cold turkey, and I know some people are probably right now in their fitness journey, like they're just now like planting their flag, like wanting to have full ownership of themselves. What were some of the things that you were just like, okay, enough is enough. And what was it that made you change the pressure from your peers? Were you concerned for your health? Were you tired of feeling like the black sheep of the family? What was it for you? And I know for everybody, it's different, you know, like being a trainer, like people start their journeys for a reason. It's either because something externally, internally, maybe it's both. But what was that for you when you were like, I'm taking full ownership, you're going to go cold turkey? What was that?
It was insecurity. Honestly, it was just like, it was the first time and this is kind of, it sounds a little bit brutal and kind of mean to myself, but I took it in a positive way. And I think sometimes shining light on the negative is the only way to find the positive in some senses. So I actually like really fully, and it sounds crazy, but I looked at myself naked in the mirror and was just like, this is not healthy. This is not okay. This is like, did you have full control over changing yourself, your life, your body, your physical fitness, the insecurity you have? You can change that if you want and if you desire and if you work hard. And I really just had a real conversation with myself. And it was a big insecurity for me, you know, staying away from photos, staying away from the lake growing up and wearing a t-shirt in the pool, that kind of shit. You know, I had enough. And at that point I finally was like, you know what? I have nothing better to do but to try to create change. And I actually just, when I say cold turkey, I just started changing what I was eating. And it was like the simplest stuff, like eating whole grain bread, eating like lower calorie cereal, not knowing what calories were back then.
Sure.
But I just started making simple changes, and I stepped foot in the gym, and I started just trying to work out and just trying to do something to improve my health. And slowly but surely, that just started kind of building momentum, and I felt better mentally. I felt better physically. I felt better about myself. And that snowballed into more confidence and more self-belief. And it kind of just kept trickling forward and forward until, honestly, I ended up losing about 50 pounds and became obsessed with fitness and training and just really engulfed myself into studying it more. And it was a lot of people in like forums back in the day on like websites that really like started to kind of answer questions and help me. And that's when I started consuming content. And I actually changed my degree at school. I was going to school for business. I changed my degree to health and fitness. Forged my dad's signature to do it, because at the time they were like, no, this is just a weird fad you're into right now. So I've been training for a month, and I'm like, I'm going to be a trainer. This is my thing. And so
let me ask you, when you decided to make these changes leading up, you said you were 18, you know, you looked at yourself in the mirror, and that was probably just like this broken moment where you're like, I'm not okay with this anymore. But up until then, like, had you ever tried and failed? Like, did you ever go through any of these like fad diets or feel the pressure of your peers or, you know, your family or just like your own insecurities? Or were you just like, you literally like didn't care until you had that aha moment where you're like, I cannot keep living like this?
Honestly, it was, I had never seriously tried. Partly because I was insecure about the gym too. I didn't want to embarrass myself. Like even in like the weights room at in high school, I would like skip class, and I was insecure about the gym. I didn't want to be in there. I didn't know what I was doing. I had a lot of friends that were in sports that had to go lift, like football and basketball. And of course they give you shit and they make fun of you, but they're your friends. So as a dude, you just kind of take it on the chin, and it is what it is. But inside, of course, it kind of crushes you. And I really didn't try until that point. And I definitely don't want to say I went cold turkey and just successfully lost 50 pounds. Like I tried like fad after fad after fad until I finally started getting some momentum, but I didn't give up. I just kept trying every BS diet and every whatever training program back then. There was like the initial movement of functional fitness and high intensity boot camps were kind of coming into the scene. So a lot of cardio based stuff. So it took a while, but over the course of a year, you know, of really like basically banging my head against the wall with everything I could find until something started clicking. And then I changed my degree and started going to school for it. And then I lost, like I said, 50 pounds. And then I started wanting to build muscle, and I ended up getting an internship
When you said that you were obsessed with it, were you doing like 2-a-days obsessed with it, like waking up in the morning and training, going to school, and then like in the afternoon coming back in? Or
no, honestly, I was obsessed with the education side of it. I was obsessed with the knowledge. I had a phase where I got obsessed in that regard too, but it was years later when I competed in a men's physique competition, and that went into like a downhill of dieting too hard and then getting on stage and then rebounding and then doing that whole thing, you know. But at the time, it was just like anything I could get my hands on from training and nutrition, it was just like, I just need to read, I need to watch, I need to study. And luckily that, you know, that pushed me to continue going through school. And then I got an internship at a strength facility in Seattle called Bigger Ground. I was the head trainer there for 6.5 years while writing blogs and posting on Facebook and shit like that. And in 2017, I left there to start my online business. And that's what we are today, is Tailored Coaching Method. And we have 9 coaches. We're spread out around the country. We have, we're developing an app right now. We have the podcast. So it's grown a lot since then. And it kind of was all from that obsession with, first, my own transformation, second, becoming obsessed with just the education, and then seeing how that can change other people's life, you know. And you know this, when you help somebody else transform, it's just, it's a priceless feeling.
Yeah,
you know, and that just kind of kept growing. Yeah.
I think what, you know, as trainers, because we've been through it ourselves, a majority of us, we've chosen to take on this job as a responsibility, because we know how it feels when you have that aha moment, like when you can truly make positive changes in your life. And we want nothing more than for other people to feel what we have felt, right? It's a passion thing. It's passion driven. So I want to talk about your coaching business, the Tailored Coaching Method. Hey, first of all, congrats on like all of your success and everything and becoming independent. How scary was that for you? Because if you were a head strength coach for about 6 years, you know, you're probably pretty comfortable, you know, whenever you decided to kind of go off and to split and to do your own thing, were you, how was that like? Were you nervous? Were you like, I have so much more that I can just give, like I'm exploding? Or were you like, okay, I'm like, how was that transition for you?
Yeah. Thank you. And, I was scared shitless. I'm not gonna lie. It's never easy jumping out and doing your own thing, you know? The ironic thing, you know, when I first got this internship and then that later became a job, I remember being in the interview and I told the person, he said, what do you want to do long-term? And I said, I want to build a website for fitness and nutrition, because I was reading all these guys' blogs. I mean, this is way back, obviously.
It was like men's health or bodybuilding.com or
a lot of that. Yeah. And then even like individual people's blogs or get back to me, Jay Ferrugia and all these different people. And he was like, well, how are you going to make money? And I have no idea. These guys are doing it. There's something there. And he said, you know, if you want to be a reputable source like that, coach people for 5 years every day in the gym, and then you'll have the right to do stuff online like that. And so 6.5 years later, I decided to do it, you know? And so I really took that advice to heart and I stuck with it. And I tried to break off and kind of start my own thing multiple times, but I just didn't have, it's scary. I was comfortable, like you said, you know, like I had a cush little job and I was like one of the head coaches. It was great. And then my girlfriend at the time, wife now, got pregnant. And that's when I was like, okay, it's now or it's never. And I told my wife, girlfriend at the time, that, you know, when she was getting ready to go on maternity leave, I was like, I'm going to quit my job. I have to give up all of my clients to keep, like, you know, respect in the industry. I don't want to causing bad blood. So the house was already in her name. And I was like, but I'm going to build this online thing. By the time you're done with maternity leave, you'll never have to go back to work. And she was just like, okay, you do, you know, chase your dream, do your thing. And that's what happened. She never went back to work. I hustled my ass off during her pregnancy and pushed it, and it grew in within that 9 month period, it grew enough to like create the stability. And then we started scaling and stuff. But I was scared shitless. You know, you're going off on your own. And for at the time, you know, when you're in a gym like that, they're giving you leads. So like I'm at a gym, like I'm great at sales, but I didn't think about the process. Like, okay, I'm good at selling people and coaching people and creating these transformations. But I forgot about the part that people got to show up for me to sell in the first place, which they were doing. And so you go off on your own. You're like, okay.
Where are the people? Like, how do I get the people? Shit.
Yeah, exactly. So it was scary, but I figured I looked at it like, if you're a billboard of what you do.
Sure.
And that meant to me, like I was doing Facebook Lives damn near daily. I was on Instagram multiple times a day. I was recording my podcast that nobody was listening to at the time. And I was writing blogs and newsletters and just like, how many ways can I educate and give free value and just help people as much as possible? And eventually word of mouth will spread, people will join, something will happen. And that's what did.
So did you start your, your online business? Because you also have a brick and mortar, correct? Do you have a brick and mortar office?
So
like a Taylor Training, is there like a training facility inside of that? Is this local just to in Seattle where you're from?
Yeah. So it's funny. It started I was bouncing around gyms, just filming shit and like writing online programs, doing all the coaching for my house. But I had this thing, I called it the fantasy factory back today, because I grew up skateboarding and stuff. So I was like, I'm going to build like a fitness fantasy factory. And we're not going to have any members. It's just going to be a dope gym where I can shoot content. And like when people that I like, that want to like, that are motivated and that I think can, you know, train with me, do whatever, I'll just give them a key. You know, so we have a few people, some friends, family, and like even some clients that have been local that just want to show up and train stuff. And eventually I was like, hey, here's a key, you can come. So we have a gym, and then we have offices on the other side with podcast studio, office, media room for my guy that does all the editing and stuff. But it went from my house in a garage to like, I rented out a big like bay door warehouse style thing. And then that expanded into two units back like next door. And I just broke down one of the walls for a door. And then we moved out of there into like a more professional setting place. But yeah, it's a gym. It is a facility, but we're doing a seminar here actually this weekend for the first time. But otherwise it's just like my playground for content, just training and stuff.
I love that. I want to go back to whenever you were saying you were hustling for the clients and you made the decision to basically not see people in person, but to basically take your business online, correct?
Yeah.
And then whenever you were talking about, because I know a lot of young trainers who are looking to grow their online business or who are floor trainers and they're wanting to make that next step. Whenever you talk about like you had to hustle and grind and like, what can you be a little bit more specific about some of the things that you were doing? You said you were grinding, hustling on social media. Were you going like door to door? How are you working this to basically build your brand and your business?
Yeah. And to provide context too, I will say that it was a different time, you know, 2017, even just Instagram, as you know, like it was a completely different playing field, you know, with, I mean, there wasn't as many features. There wasn't as many people trying to do it. People blame the algorithm, but I'm always like, I mean, that's just part of marketing. You got to work with what's going on. And you just keep going. But to be honest with you, I did anything and everything. It was like, I was shooting content at gyms and I would intentionally like rotate different gyms so I could connect with people. And so what I would do is I would reach out to somebody and say, hey, like, I see you own a gym. It's really cool. Like, I would love to do a photo shoot there and shoot some content when you don't have, like, a lot of them were CrossFit gyms and it would be like in between classes or someone you're on members. I'll pay for my time. And a lot of times they wouldn't make me pay. They'd be like, oh, dude, that's awesome. Like, yeah, you can totally do that. And I would just connect with them and stuff. And then be like, can I pay you back in some way? Like, I'll do a nutrition seminar for free for your members. And they would let me do that. And then I would do a seminar and their members would be in front of me. And
they're like, oh, by the way, I also, you want more in depth. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I was spreading it that way. I was doing a lot of content. I mean, I was literally on Instagram, Facebook, and writing email newsletters every day, like popping up emails. I was writing free eBooks. I was doing just anything I could think of. And if there was an event, if there was people I can connect with, if somebody wanted to jump on a call, like I was just going after it. And of course, that's not a long-term sustainable approach. But when you're first starting out and you're trying to build something, like you kind of have to just have the pedal down and just go, you know? Sure, so yeah. I was saying yes to everything and I was helping anybody and everybody that would let me talk to them or get in front of them. And that paid off in so many ways. And it probably was like a full year straight of doing that really hard until you just get burned out. It was like, now it's sustainable financially. I don't need to do that anymore.
You kind of pick and choose, like, right. You pick and choose what you do and where you go. Well, talking about like your coaches, I want to kind of ask you or dive into a little bit about what is it that makes your programming, your coaching programming different? I know that the tailored coaching method, what does that mean? And like, what is your philosophy on like the problem with like the whole one size fits all solutions and what we read in textbooks? And I can't agree more, like the experience that you've got to have it on the floor before you can take it like online. That's so, so very true and incredibly valuable for a trainer to have that experience. So talk a little bit about like the tailored coaching method and then your problem with these one size fits all like diet solutions.
Yeah. So the name actually came about because, so funny enough, it originally was called Boom Boom Performance. My nickname's always been Cody Boom Boom McBroom. And so I had
Cody
a blog
Boom
called
Boom McBroom.
Yeah.
Hey,
so
hey, when I do your intro, I'm totally gonna be like, Cody Boom Boom McBroom.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it sounds like the whatever that boxer the announcer coming into the ring, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for whatever reason, that was my nickname growing up. And then I made a blog called Boom Boom Performance. And then like, I would just write on it. And then that became like my company name because it was just me. But at a certain point, you start hiring coaches that work for you. And like, I was like, well, number one, I want it to be a named for us, not just me, but also this doesn't describe what we do whatsoever, you know? So I was trying to figure out a way to describe it, but I can't call my company individualized coaching because that's like it's a buzzword, you know, it's a thing that's going on. And a lot of people say they do that, but not always. And so I was actually given a talk at a seminar it was like a business coaching seminar. So for trainers and nutritionists and stuff, and it was in Arizona, and there's like 150 people and trainers in the crowd. And as I was talking, I said, our method is a tailored coaching method. And I remember like looking over at like my media guy who was taking pictures of and just like, we like locked eyes and was
like, that was it.
That's it.
Yeah.
I emailed my,
came out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up emailing my lawyer like that day and got the name. And that just describes what we do. We truly do tailor every aspect of it. So we have, like I said, 9 coaches. They're all sports nutritionists and trainers. And we have a PhD, a chief science officer on staff who can actually read blood work. He can dive into the research. He's kind of like our backbone to make sure everything we're doing is evidence-based. And he's keeping us in the loop with new studies going on. And he's a third party to answer client questions when it's like really in depth. Or again, if somebody has blood work and we need a doctor to actually read it and stuff like that. Sure. And we've just always approached this way because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the whole boot camp era was really big for a while in like the gen pop scene. And there was like all these people that would show up at the gym from like a Groupon deal or something, right? And they would come to this Groupon, they would sign up for really cheap for like 30-day boot camp. And our hopes were that they would get motivated and then they would sign up for the gym and coaching. So they'd be in the environment and they'd stick with the fitness and change their lifestyle. a lot of times they would just Groupon hop. They would get this deal and they would do it and then they'd leave. And it was always very just generalized. And I always found myself having these conversations with people and they would ask me questions after class. And I'd be like, well, it depends on, and I'd go down these rabbit holes, right, you know, depending on the question.
Yeah.
Because everything is just so specific to the person and their goals and their gender and their age and their hormones and like their metabolism and their history and all this stuff. And so I've never been able to answer a question easily. I've never been able to not go super in depth. I've always just kind of gone 10 times further when creating a client nutrition plan or training program because I can't help myself. And so as the team grew, I found other individuals that were the same way and that either hired me as their coach or as a mentor, and then they became a coach for me. And tailored coaching method was the way to describe it. We tailor every aspect of it, whether it's the communication, the accountability, the metrics we're tracking, the nutrition, the nutrient timing, the just the general macros and stuff like that, obviously, all the way down to the training program and how we're interacting with them. We'll even ask, as crazy as it sounds, some like of the love language questions in their questionnaire because we want to know how you respond best. You know, I might be words of affirmation, but if you're not, then it's not going to connect with you or make you feel appreciated. Sure. So we want to know how they receive appreciation, how they feel that reward, and then actually utilize that strategy in our coaching. You know, sure. So the best way I can describe it is it's as far away from generic cookie cutter as you can possibly get.
So when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What, like, you know, we're coming into summer. I don't know how warm it is up in Seattle right now for you guys.
Still, I need to move ASAP.
Still cold, huh? Well, I know in many parts of the regions of the United States, it's starting to warm up. And so, like, a lot of people are like, okay, they're starting to be like, oh my gosh, I got to, like, put a bikini on or we're going to go on a summer vacation. What do you think are some common mistakes that people make when they're, like, first initially trying to get back in shape?
Ooh,
there's probably a million. There's a lot of them. But is there just kind of like whenever you see people just starting this journey that you have seen, you know, like a mistake that they, is it because maybe they go cold turkey and they can't sustain what they do? Is it, you know, not doing research on what they're about to do and they, you know, get into keto and they're like, oh, this sucks. I'm only going to do it for 2 weeks. And then, you know, they end up gaining more weight back. Like, what would you say is like people who are like, okay, it's starting to warm up. This year is my year. I'm going to get in shape. Like, what is the common mistake that people can avoid?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, if, I don't know when this airs, but a lot of times, like it's May 10th as we're recording this. And I would say that a lot of times people just wait too long, you know, and then it sends them down that path that you're talking about because they wait until it gets hot and then they're like, okay, I need to do something. So they do keto and it's like this rapid approach. It's very restrictive and it's miserable for them. Not saying that everybody's gonna be miserable on keto. I'm sure there's people that enjoy it. I can't do it personally. It's not sustainable for my lifestyle. It's not sustainable for my training type. So like, I think people end up waiting too long and then they jump to some radical solution for dieting and they get too aggressive with it, which may get them a short-term result. But next year before summer, they're gonna find themselves in the same exact position because if they can manage to sustain it through the summer, it's gonna come right back in the fall, through the winter, and then they're gonna be in spring going, ah, shit, I gained the weight back again. I need to figure this out, right? So I think, ultimately, it's waiting too long and trying to find a short-term solution for a long-term problem that they have. And a lot of times it's because they don't ask why. They don't ask, why am I doing this? Like, what's my issue with adherence, lifestyle, environment? Like, what's causing me to have this cyclical pattern of weight regain and loss, right? And then why is this diet going to work fast? Because sometimes if you can just figure out why it's going to work, you can manipulate it in a positive way to just get a better result long-term. So for example, keto, if keto is going to work, it's because it puts you in calorie deficit, right? This is why a lot of people jump into a keto diet and they lose weight at first. And then they figure out how to make like fancy keto recipes and they start gaining weight again or not losing because once you figure out how to make keto brownies or you're eating more bacon and eggs, because you figure out the food groups, your calories go back up. And we know that no matter what the diet is, the calories got to be in a favorable place for fat loss. But if you can figure that out before you start, well, then you can go, all right, well, maybe I'll just figure out a better way to create a calorie deficit. and maybe I make a less aggressive calorie deficit, or I make a calorie deficit in a more sustainable way because I know that it is a calorie deficit I need, and I know what foods I like and I can fit in there, and I know what foods support my training or my hormones or my lifestyle or my recovery needs or whatever it may be. And now the diet can still accomplish the same thing, even if you do want to be a little more aggressive at the beginning. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you know why it's working in a fast, short-term way, you can also ease out of it better. You can also control the diet better. You know, when you go off point, you can jump back on easier because you know why you got off point. And it leads to a lot more education. And we've found that, you know, education provides so much more sustainability for people because you understand why. You know, if somebody's following a diet plan, no matter what diet plan it is, and they don't understand why it's going to work, where they're headed, how long it's going to last, all these things, they're kind of just walking down a dark path. But if we can create the GPS or the blueprint for them, it makes it way easier to have buy-in and trust with the process and then actually be consistent so you can get the result.
What is your opinion on tracking macros? I know that it continues to be a fad. I know it was like a really big fad like a couple years ago. Would you recommend that for even people starting out, or do you think it's more overwhelming if somebody's kind of coming into like this whole, even we'll just talk about like, you know, very basics of understanding like what is a calorie and, you know, what are the good fats? What is your opinion on the macros, and is it something that you recommend for somebody who's just starting out?
We'll use macros quite often with people, but not always when they're first starting out. I think it depends on quite a few things. Honestly, I think that if we look at, there's even some research on this of like it becoming obsessive and be almost like overly overwhelming or OCD tendencies kind of coming about. And a lot of that has to do with your personality type, because that can also happen. We've seen this with, I believe it's called like orthorexia or something like that, but we've seen it with like paleo dieting or clean eating, when some people get so obsessed with organic, clean whole foods that they like are so fearful of having a beer every once in a while or enjoying something that's not perfectly high quality. So it can happen on the other spectrum where people are so obsessed with weighing their food and tracking macros that they literally think if they don't hit their macros on the dot, something bad's going to happen. But the reality is that everything's a really good estimate. You know, if we look at a chicken breast and we say a chicken is 26 grams of protein and 2 grams of fat or something like that, well, every chicken lived a different life, had different muscle, ate different food, had different hydration. So there's no way we know that for sure every 4 ounces. You know, it's impossible. So I think anything can become a little neurotic and can become obsessive if you have that personality type, or you're educated the wrong way, or you just take it too far. However, I also don't think it's necessary to track macros for brand new people either, because you can create a deficit by just changing lifestyle habits, right? If we're just
train harder, take another walk, or like, I really think it's easy. I mean, like we talk about how to start trying to change, you know, when you were getting a lot of your information from blogs, and now it's almost like there's so much out there that it's so overwhelming, almost like threatening to somebody who's like wanting to make lifestyle changes, because it's like there's so much out there, you don't know what to trust. And so that's why, like, I really just encourage, like, just keep it like stupid simple. Talk, you know, start with like clean items from the earth. If it, you know, if it's living, if it grows, I forget what some of the other things that I say, because it really can be kind of like what you're saying. Somebody brand new coming into this, and then you're going to give them like the macros, and then they're going to have to count the calories, and it's really not for everybody for sure. What do you have coming up like in the future? I your social media, it's extremely informative. What is your social media handle?
At Cody McBroom for Instagram.
Sure. And then what is the name of your podcast that you have?
The Tailored Life Podcast.
Nice. So I know that I want you to like leave us with just some advice for people who are really wanting to like make some lifestyle changes. And I know we talked a little bit about like maybe what not to do, but if what would you say to somebody who's like contemplating if they're really ready, if they're ready to take ownership of their life, what is the first step? And what is some advice that you can give them to make sure that it's a like the longevity, that it's a lifestyle change and a lifestyle goal?
Yeah. I'll piggyback off of what you were saying just a second ago, because I agree with it. And I used to say something similar. I think I said, if it had a face or if it grew from the ground, walked on the ground, flew over the ground, swam on the, or something like that.
There you go. Yeah, that works too. Yeah,
that's like 89% of your diet.
For sure.
But I think like start simple and like go slow and keep it sustainable. I mean, like realistically, if you just do that and you, because no matter what, if you do too much at once at the beginning, it's like the whole macro conversation. Like some people can use them really, really well. I do when I'm dialing things in to get ready for a photo shoot or a stage or anything like that, I'll like take it to that point because I'm advanced and I need to break through plateaus.
Sure.
But if we're starting at the beginning or we're just trying to maintain or focus on health and performance, we don't need that. We need to focus on food quality, managing portion sizes, and just focusing on the sustainability of it. Make it a lifestyle. Get in the gym consistently. Go on walks consistently. Move your body every day. Eat real food because your body deserves it. And don't focus on going super fast or implementing a million things at once. Start simple, keep it small, and just focus on the sustainability of it. And you will be a completely different human being in a year's time.
Oh, yeah. Just froze.
Am I cutting out? You're frozen on my end.
Oh, there you are. Hey.
Yeah, you're frozen on my end. Oh, there
we go. You're frozen too. Okay. Start back with you're just talking about how it could be like sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you start small, you keep it simple and you just focus on the sustainability of it, it becomes a lifestyle. You know, move your body every day, go to the gym when you can. You don't have to train 6 days a week, but get to the gym. If it's two times, great. Three times, awesome. Four, whatever. Walk every day, like move your body, eat real food as often as you can. That will take care of, you know, half of your results for the next year anyway. But if you do these like simple things and you just wait to throw in the more advanced stuff, the more complicated stuff until later on when you hit a plateau or you've been doing it for years, they're necessary at that point at times if you want to keep going. But at first, like keep it simple, start small with little habits and just focus on sustainability. In a year's time, you will be a literally a different human being if you just do those simple things and you just commit to the long term. Like this is a lifestyle. It's the only body you get.
Right. And I think it's also important that like don't compare your like 1 month or 3 month transformation with somebody's like 1 year transformation. Yeah. Know that like everybody's journey takes time. Everybody's transformation, it's your own pace. So don't get discouraged if it's taking you longer, if you feel like it's taking you longer, because you don't know what that other person has been through, like how long they've been training or, you know. So I would just say like, that's a big one, especially for women, as you see for us, like we're so bad at like wanting to compare our progress with everybody else's or, you know, people, even people in our community. But it's really important to celebrate your wins, celebrate your victories, but know that your progress is your progress. And you should be really proud of that no matter how long it takes you. And as long as you're moving forward, you're on the right path. So.
100%.
All right. Well, Cody, hey, thank you so much for coming on the Reborn podcast today. I just wish you and your family so much success and have a great week and stay warm up there in Seattle. I'll try to send you some sunshine over here on the East Coast in Virginia.
Love it. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye, Cody.
There's nowhere to hide. What would you decide when it's on the line? Would just do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? You can never touch the sky, go and try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all and you're still unbreakable.